Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, so you confess to these murders. Why do we need to wait till next year for a jury?
Well, I didn't confess anything.
Well, I know you haven't confessed.
But thanks for coming out of the
first, throwing out. Yeah.
Welcome to the top of the hour.
God, I'd have him dead already. I would have had him, before he put the pen down from confessing, I'd have him dead already.
Yeah. I mean, but they're going to drag it out for years. They're the appeal process, and, you know, it's just,
well, no, it wouldn't be an appeal process if the jury or whoever's going to make the decision, if they give them death and they don't want to appeal it, there won't be an appeal. It's right, only if they want to.
But if they drag it out, it could last 10, 20, 30 years.
And then again, there's people that should have no say in anything are going to say, no, I'm sticking up for them.
Right,
I think we should let them go.
Right. What did you see that weird story about the UFC fighter that was released because he said he was insane? He like was on for his attempted murder, Riviera or whatever his name is.
No.
No. I got to find that story for you.
I'm good. Okay. I told you I don't watch the news. I watch replays of the same 3-4 shows. If I see one more replay of Last Man Standing, I'm gonna go crazy. And I haven't seen any of the newer ones. You know,
so check this
story. I don't care.
No, I have to share it with you. So it's unbelievable. So following a January arrest for the felony charges of attempted first-degree murder with a deadly weapon, UFC bantamweight Irwin Rivera was reversed from custody today after a decision from the Palm Beach County judge saying that he cited insanity. And so they released him, and they just said that his teammates at the gym, Gilbert Burns and Sean Soriano, offered to supervise the newly released Rivera. So they just said, okay, you're insane.
So we're going to let you go.
And but you know, your UFC training partners are going to keep an eye on you, so we're good with that.
I like it.
I mean, what? What?
No comment.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Next time I get in trouble, I'm just going to claim insanity.
Well, I thought you'd do that anyway.
Will you keep an eye on me?
Andre Orlovsky was victorious on Saturday.
That guy's been fighting 136 years.
And big ups to him then.
Still
as you're trying to make a joke of a guy that's had an extended career that we even thought should have ended years ago.
Sure.
And then he's been on, you know, this win streak. Big ups to him. I mean, does what he loves, and he's still able to do it. I think him and Tom Brady are going to see who can last longer.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing about a champion mentality. Like, you know, this guy was once the heavyweight champ. So once you have that ability to do it from within and manifest that commitment and desire, you can do amazing things.
And it doesn't just have to be sports.
Sure.
Like our next guest. This is pretty cool. I'm looking forward to this. Let's welcome to the program Drew Copeland from Sister Hazel, who they're performing Friday at House of Blues in Orlando. I think we're going to get the limo and head up there.
Oh.
Drew, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. And I don't know if you're in the state of Florida yet. I know that you're from here, but if you are, welcome home.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, we are home right now. We're actually flying out tomorrow morning, but we're home now and just so thankful to be back on the road doing gigs.
Knew of your band for quite some time. I used to host some guy by the name of Brad Culpepper's radio show. And if I remember, there was some connection other than just the Gainesville connection, correct?
That is true, yeah. There was we've known Brad for a long time. Actually, believe it or not, and this dates me, but I played high school football against Brad a million years ago. But go Gators.
Yeah, that dates you, which makes me feel even older, but it's okay. You know, we can live with that. So when we get a guest and you know, I'm told somebody's coming on, I try not to do a whole lot of research, pick one or two things, and then we can just kind of have a conversation. So when I jumped on and I saw where the name of the band came from, it never even entered my mind. So please tell that story, Sister Hazel.
Yeah, so Sister Hazel Williams was a real person that lived in Gainesville. She ran a rescue mission for as long as I can remember. And she just passed away. I think it's been maybe 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now. But up until the day she died, she was always working hard to give people a fresh start and a place to regroup if they needed it. And so when we were starting out, our music, even today, man, people are like, well, what kind of band are you guys? And we kind of put it out there for everybody. Like, you don't have to be a country fan or a rock fan or an acoustic fan or anything. You can listen to our music and find something for you. And Ken, when we were going to name the band, Ken said, "Look, man, how about Sister Hazel? She's out there. She puts it out there for everybody, whoever needs help, and maybe that'll be something that our music, you know, does for people." So that was how we named the band. I wanted to name the band Creed, but they were against that. And then you see what happened after that.
What was her response, you know, when you guys went and told
her? It was funny because she was down in Haiti and Belize doing mission work when the band started kind of taking off, and she came back to Gainesville. Honestly, we didn't really know where she was at the time, but she came back to Gainesville, and Ken and I were actually living. We had another roommate. We were all living together in a house in Northwest Gainesville at the time, and she called one early morning after a gig that we had in town, and our roommate went into Ken's room and said, "Hey, man, the phone's for you. It's Sister Hazel." And he was like, "What?" And she wanted to meet with him, and they got together, and she said as long as we were staying true to ourselves and being kind to people, that she didn't mind us using her name. And we ended up raising a bunch of money for her over the years, so it was a really good relationship.
Definitely very, very cool. So athletes, you know, 90% of our conversations are with athletes, and they always complain about travel. You know, even the football guys that travel, you know, overnight and then they're home the next day. I don't think anybody can even comprehend the travel that you guys do as musicians. I'm sure you love touring, but talk about the travel and what it takes to get from gig to gig.
Well, I can just give you an example this week. I was in Vegas on Monday night and red-eyed home. And, you know, as we've gotten older, we're all, you know, all the band guys are married now and we all have kids. So I got home Tuesday morning, tried to be a husband and a dad for a day. And I'm already, in fact, I just walked away from sound check. Ken and I are doing an acoustic gig today. And then tomorrow morning we fly out for Columbia. And, you know, as you get older, man, it's still, look, I'm a blessed guy. Like, don't get this wrong at all.
Sure.
'Cause I'm very thankful for my gig and for the life I've been given. But as you get older, man, having 10 guys on a bus, you know, and sleeping in basically a moving coffin every night, it can get a little tiresome. But, you know, I'm thankful for my gig. I can do the travel for what I've gotten to do.
I was trying to think of a funny way to say when I was in the Navy and sleeping with all those people in a moving boat, you know, kind of the same thing, but I had to do it.
Yeah.
I had no choice.
Yeah, look, it's not that bad unless the catering that night was Mexican. Then it's like you're in a lot of trouble.
Talk us through the process of writing songs. I mean, is it, you know, tomorrow at 10 o'clock we're going to sit down until we bang out a song or two? Or is it you wait till something kind of hits you? And how true are those stories that you get this feeling in the middle of the night and that's your next hit?
Well, those are true stories, but it comes in a lot of different ways. I mean, there are times, I had a couple of writing deals up in Nashville where I literally did have appointments with different writers, and you'd go sit down and somebody'd bring up an idea and you'd start trying to work on it and see how far you can get with it. Sometimes songs could be written in 30 minutes and sometimes it took 3 months. So I've had it happen, you know, all different ways. I've had subject matter come up and then I try to come up with a melody line and a chord change, or I've had a cool chord change I liked and then, you know, try to put something to it. So there's really no formula to it. Just sometimes you're inspired some ways. But I will tell you that it's kind of funny because during that time period when I had the writing deals, I was writing a lot. I mean, I was writing, you know, I was writing 10 songs a month or, you know, something along that line. And when I'd come home with those songs, sometimes they were, you know, relationship songs that weren't very flattering. And my wife would go, "Well, who's that about?" Like, "It's just a song, honey. It's just a story I made up." You know, of course, the ones that were really flattering, I always came home and said, "This one was about you and how sweet you are." So,
absolutely. Yeah. We are talking to Drew Copeland from Sister Hazel, performs Friday night at the House of Blues. I always ask the fighters craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fist fight. What comes to mind? What's the craziest, funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a performance?
Well, we've had a couple of, I mean, honestly, you know, so Ken and I, this past March, we celebrated our 30th year singing together. So, as you can imagine, doing it for that long, we've had a lot of weird things happen. The one that comes to mind for me is we were playing a big theater one night, and actually this just happened to Vince Neil like recently. But we were playing this big theater. The lighting was pretty intense, and Ken decided to put his guitar down and walk around with his microphone, you know, be a rock star. And he walked to the front of the stage, and all of a sudden, dude, he just disappeared. Like, he literally walked off the front of the stage, and he got wedged between the speakers in the front of the stage and the stage. And the rest of the band just kind of looked at him, and we kept playing. And so he finished the song literally wedged between the stage and the speakers. That was kind of crazy.
I do like that. That's good.
Hey, Drew, so I'm notorious for, like, sneaking my way into events that I don't really belong.
Oh, that's true.
You know, coming from my pizza career, I learned if you show up with 10 pizzas in your hand, people just open up doors and bring you right into the green room. So I've met some of the top rockers. Like, what's the craziest story of someone sneaking into a hotel to meet you guys or backstage? Or, you know, what was the most clever way? Because, you know, I'm always looking for tips.
New stories.
Well, man, honestly, a lot of what you just, like, you're not alone in that approach. I mean, I'm sure you know this after having done that. As long as you act like you're supposed to be there, most people aren't going to stop you. Like, if you start walking towards a guarded area, as long as you act like, you know, you can flash them pretty much anything and go, yeah, I'm supposed to be back. You just keep walking. They'll let you back there. But, man, we've had it done all kind of different ways. Probably the creepiest ones are when you're in public and somebody follows you into a bathroom. That's the one you just really should avoid, that one. If anybody's a fan of a sports figure or a musician, try to let them finish their business before you go following them into a bathroom.
Definitely true. So I'll tell one of Matt's stories. So Russell Peters is a friend of mine. He came and he performed in Tampa. And I'm like, Matt, I know that he used to own a pizzeria in town. I said, I know you're going to close at 10. Can you do me a favor? Can you bring X amount of pizzas, you know, at the end of Russell's, you know, performance? It's not a concert or his show. And, yeah. I'll text you when we're done and we'll open the door. He goes, yeah, sure. So Russell gets done. We all go into the back. I start to walk into the green room with him. And there's Matt already in the green room.
And he pointed at you and goes, he doesn't belong here. How did you get here?
He's like, what took you so long? Music-wise, you know, who did you listen to growing up? And, you know, who influenced you and the rest of your bandmates into what is now all known as Sister Hazel?
Well, I'll tell you, the cool thing about our band, and it took a lot of years to develop, is when the five of us, it's six of us now, but when the five of us get behind our instruments and start to develop a song, it becomes a Sister Hazel song then. We kind of make a noise, which, you know, I think we probably fought that for a long time, but now we're grateful for it. I mean, if you hear us playing even a cover song, a lot of people can go, well, that's Sister Hazel covering whatever. So, growing up, we all had different influences. For me, man, when I was growing up, I listened to a lot of really heavy stuff. I listened to Queen and Kiss and Zeppelin and all the old Van Halen stuff and AC/DC. And, you know, those are the bands I listened to growing up. And then as I've gotten older, I really got into the singer-songwriter and you know, people like James Taylor. And I loved the Eagles and all the harmonies in that. And so there's, you know, you hear kind of an influence from a ton of different things. Our guitar player, Ryan Newell, he's sick. I mean, the stuff he can do, he plays an awesome slide guitar. And then we always kind of incorporate a lot of vocal harmonies in the stuff that we do now. So the influences are all over the map.
One of the questions I wanted to ask, and when I did that 30 seconds of research, this is one of the things I wanted to research before I asked this question. There's a lot of bands that were once, like, and one comes to mind because I responded to something on social media, Little River Band, even though there's not a single person in Little River Band today that was in Little River Band back in the day. Give me your thoughts on that if you want to respond to that. You know, but first I check to make sure everybody's original in Sister Hazel.
Yeah, we are. Well, I'll tell you, even cooler than that, man, there was an article a few years back that said how many platinum-selling artists that have been around for 20 years or more that still had the same original members, and we were one of very few. I mean, I think there might have been 15 or something like that, like all time, which is pretty awesome. So yeah, we have all the original guys, and we added one. Dave LeGrand is our keyboard player now, and he's literally been with us for I think 8 years at this point. So But I think it's fine. I think that the I have friends that have bands that were that came up when we came up, and now it's like just a singer. You know, it's a, he kept the name, and they continue to tour. I don't really have a problem with it. You know, they're playing the songs, and they're I think they're trying to represent the original lineup the best way they can. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm all good with it.
It was just funny, and it's still Little River Band. They performed at Epcot a couple of years ago, and we sat in the sun for 6 hours. We waited for it, and then I happened to Google it. I'm like, there's not a single person here, that was in. I mean, they sounded great. I was just curious. Before we run out of time, I do want you to talk about Camp Hazelnut, and I know it's right around the corner, Rock Boat. So if you can talk about some of those things that you guys are.
Yeah, so Rock Boat's in a couple of weeks. It will be officially. It'll be our 21st year doing it. We basically charter an entire cruise ship. We were the pioneers of this whole floating music festival thing, and. It'll be our 21st year going out. It would be 22, but COVID canceled the one last year. So we charter an entire ship, and we take out about 30 bands, and every venue on the ship has music going, and it's unbelievable. It's really, unless you experience it, it's hard to totally explain, but it's a really great time. And then Camp Hazelnut, man, the way that started is we've really made sure to try to connect with our fans as much as we can. We do these fan experiences, and we set up Camp Hazelnut at a little camp outside of Gainesville, Camp Crystal. And it was meant originally for our fans to come and hang out. We'd camp out in these cabins and play music by a fire and do all that kind of stuff. And it turned out that there was a children's cancer hospital in Tampa that had a group of kids that, wanted to come. And so we scholarshiped a bunch of kids to come up, and it became very clear to the band that what that needed to be was that. It was an outreach for, we have a charity called Lyrics for Life, which is about helping kids with cancer and research on cancer, period. And so we decided, man, that Camp Hazelnut was a perfect time for the kids with cancer, their siblings, and their parents to come and just try to forget all about the struggles of fighting cancer and, go shoot a bow and arrow and do the rope course and get out in the lake in a canoe and all that kind of stuff. And we do shows by the fire and the whole thing, but it's really an awesome time to watch those kids that have to spend so much time in therapy and their siblings who get lost sometimes in the fight against cancer, just to see them all have a good time. It's become something really special.
You have no idea, but obviously you do. So I had been involved in the Marty Lyons Foundation for many, many years. And we were doing this event for a sick child, and I'll never forget this until 3 days after I'm dead. A sibling of one of the sick child came up to me and was starting to talk to me. And this person said to me, and I'm getting a little emotional as I'm telling you this, and this is a true story. He said, I wish I was dying because of all the attention that was going to. So with you saying that, I mean, it definitely hits home.
Yeah, and it's the same way there, because everybody gets treated that way. So the owner of the Boston Celtics, Wick Grosbeck, I don't know if you know who Wick is or not, but he's been a huge supporter of that. And every year he sends in, he'll call with an idea, and he goes, man, let's get all the kids, the sick kids and their siblings, a gift. And so like last year, the last time we did it, he sent them all iPads and Beat headphones.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's like it was awesome to see the kids' reactions. And that's the siblings, too, so they're sitting there, and I don't know, man. Like you say, it's hard to explain.
Well, I have your address. I have one more question for you, but I want you to know I have your address. I'm going to shoot you my contact info. If there's anything that we can do at the station or I can do personally, I go to the Consumer Electronics Show every January in Vegas. I hit up all of these companies for items for things like this. So I would love to get involved. I would love to help you guys.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that offer. Thank you very much. Yeah, let's definitely stay in touch.
Final question for you. Friday night at House of Blues, you guys are going to be on stage performing. What are you guys thinking, or you personally, because you obviously don't know what everybody's thinking, but what's running through your mind as you're performing? I mean, are you concentrating on the song? You've played the song so many times that you're not thinking of anything, or kind of what's running through your mind?
I'm wondering if anybody's going to be backstage with a stack of pizzas when I get done. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll have pizzas there if they're Friday. Don't tempt us.
Oh, yeah. I know where it is.
Our fan base, and this is going to sound so set up, but our fan base is so loyal and so into what we do, and we're so thankful for that. The energy that we're getting from the crowd, it affects every night. It affects what's happening on stage, and I can tell you the House of Blues specifically, it's such a great venue to see shows, and we've always had such a great audience at that show. I'm looking forward to that because the energy in that room, it leads to a really dynamic show. And so we haven't been there in forever because the pandemic shut us down for so long. Probably what will be going through my mind is, I can't believe I get to do this for a living. That's probably what I'll be thinking on Friday night.
Good stuff. Drew, thank you for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package of 8-Man Strong gear for you and the whole group, as well as one of my newest sponsors is called Odd Sock. If you want to go check them out and tell me which socks you want, if not, they'll just send you a box. It's Odd Sock, S-O-X-Official.com. WWE wrestlers, movies, TV shows. It's really cool stuff. So we're going to send you a box of that as well.
Killer, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys and look forward to seeing you on Friday.
We will see you Friday. Thank you very much. Drew Copeland, everybody, from Sister Hazel. And like I said, Matt, I remember vividly doing the show with Brad. And I think Sister Hazel sang the national anthem. I'm sure they've done it numerous times, but they sang the national anthem at one game, and Brad and I talked about it, and they're from Gainesville, and so there definitely is a tie, and very, very cool. Good dude.
It's awesome. Great work.
All right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, he's going to be mad at you, too.
Which one?
Yeah, you know, Julian Lane.
Why is it mad at
me? He's mad at you, and we're going to get to that.
What's it mad at me for?
When we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Cecil Fielder from Detroit, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Center. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bill Romanowski, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back hanging out here in the dungeon. That was pretty cool. Sister Hazel performing on Friday night, and we are going to go deliver pizzas Friday night.
Heck yeah.
And then board a plane Saturday morning for BKFC Fight Night 2. Your guy's on the phone right now. I know you two were tight. Julian Lane, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, my man?
What up, Julian? What's good, boy?
What up?
That's good, man. How you feeling? How you ready? You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
I know you're built for this spotlight. I know you're built for this moment.
Oh, man. Yes, for sure, bro. You know I'm ready, man. Always.
Julian, does it matter? I mean, yeah, everybody wants to be the main event. If you can't be the main event, everybody wants to be the co-main event. But when it's all said and done, does it matter? Could be the first fight, could be the fourth fight, could be the main event. A fight's a fight, right?
Absolutely, man. Fight's a fight. And me personally, man, I like to just get it in and out the way. I like to get the fight over with and kind of sit back and enjoy the show myself, man. So being the last fight, I don't get to watch the other fights, so it kind of sucks, but hey.
It is what it is, right?
And so, hey, it is what it is, man. You know what I mean?
See, it's similar, Matt, and I know you give me garbage about this all the time. I always want to do things and get it out of the way so I can leave. So don't stay. I'm going to get out.
You want to get it done and otherwise you can go eat.
Well, that's true, too. That is definitely true. What training do you do different, you know, from, an MMA fight? I mean, other than the obvious, you know, it's a stand-up, it's bare knuckle. I mean, are there things that you do that you wouldn't be doing, you know, if this was a straight MMA fight?
I do a lot more when it comes to MMA training, but I would say if I was getting ready for an MMA fight, I'd still do the same training I'm doing now. I would just have to do a lot of more other things, you know, and like grappling and things like that, and different types of strength and conditioning.
Go ahead, Jolene. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I was just gonna say, man, it's a lot easier on your body training for a bare knuckle fight. But I still train all around, man. I still do jiu-jitsu. I get on the mats, man. I wrestle. I do it all, man. I kickbox. So I just, when I get closer to the fight, I kind of slow down on all the other things and just focus mainly on the striking. But I still, you know, work on my Greco-Roman, which is all upper body wrestling. So still work on my upper body grappling and my striking when it comes to bare knuckle.
You mentioned striking. Obviously, that's the main of bare knuckle. How do you have to, you know, worry about, think about, you know, you don't want to overpunch. You have to be careful where you hit so you don't break a knuckle. Are you thinking that stuff? Or is it basically basketballs to the walls and we're going to fight and I'll worry about it when it happens?
Yeah, well, you're pretty much supposed to, like, by the time you get to your fight, you're supposed to be kind of, like, calibrated to the fight. Like, your accuracy is supposed to be on point. You know, everything's supposed to be sharp and ready to go for the fight, man. So no matter how you throw your punches or whatever, you know, you're usually, hopefully your instinct is proper technique, but if not, at least you've conditioned your hands or conditioned your body to be able to absorb the blows and throw them too. So,
Julian, look, we all know you from the UFC Ultimate Fighter days. We know the Wild Man, the crazy Night Train comes out at night. You know, recently, you know, Justin Thornton, he passed away. You know, obviously we saw the gruesomeness of the sport. Does that tragedy, does that change anything in your mind as far as this fight or your preparation for it or the fights there coming forward?
No, no, you know, we don't really think about that stuff, man. You know, it was definitely a tragedy, man. And, you know, my prayers and thoughts go out to his family. But, you know, like when it comes to this sport, man, or when it comes to fighting period, man, you can't think about the worst thing that can happen. You know what I mean? You gotta just go out there and you gotta give it all you got, man. You can't be cautious. You can't, you know, you can't just try to play it safe. You just go out there and kind of just not even care what happens. You know what I mean? You leave the outcome out of your hands, man, and just go out there and play. So really thinking about that kind of stuff, man. You know, but hey, we're definitely not scared because we signed that contract and we get in there. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm still going to go in there and do my thing, man.
I'll be honest, man. I've known you a while now. You sound calm. You sound like ready. I don't know if I've ever seen you this guy calm since I've known you.
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, I actually trained out here in Ohio for this fight. You know, I came back. I had some things I had to handle with my family and stuff, and I had to get my kids back, you know, doing school and everything. So I'm back being a family man and training at home. But I learned a lot when I was in Florida, man. And I'm going back to Florida after this fight. It's just, like I said, I had some things I wasn't able to go. So, hey, I had to get it out the mud like I used to do, man. And I learned something from it this time, man. I learned to really, you know, control my emotions and control my thoughts and feelings. You know, because, like, being in, like, the place I'm at now, man, it's just a small town, man. Not a lot of, you know, everybody knows everybody. But it's like you don't have a lot to look at. You don't have nice beaches and nice things to look at all the time. It's kind of like a little poor out here, man. It's not as Clearwater and Tampa and all that stuff, man. So it's kind of like a little depressing, man. So you got to really stay focused while you're here, man, and stay sharp, man. Keep your mind positive thoughts and really, you know, focus on the fight, which it's hard to do here because, like I said, man, there's a lot of depression. It could suck you in, man, and overwhelm you. But it's like I learned to actually, like, be around my family this time and, you know, handle my business, make sure I'm getting to the gym every day, make sure I'm getting all my training in, all the things I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis. You know, so yeah. I had some growth from this experience, man, training here. And I think, you know, like I said, God puts me in places where I need to be at the time I need to be there, man. And I was actually here. I helped a couple of buddies of mine, you know, get through some depression as well. You know, so I feel like, hey, I had a mission in, I'm on a mission in life, man. And wherever I may be, man, I'm just looking for it, looking to help somebody or help better myself, man. And like I said, we got it out the mud for this fight. And all I can say is, like, just, y'all know what to expect, man. It's just my last two performances have spoken for itself, man, and this one's just going to be even better.
I always hate asking future questions, but I'm going to ask one anyway, so I hate myself. But is this something that you'll do for your next fight? Go back, you know, whether it's Ohio or a place like that? I got to be honest with you. I love gloom places. I was just in Philadelphia. The gloomy sky, the gloomy, it kind of brings out the best of me. Is that something that you'll continue doing?
Not necessarily, but I have some things that I've been working on since I've been here. Like, I just need to build up my foundation more because, like, I have four daughters here and my family's here. So while I'm here, I need to make sure I have everything I need. Like, I'm even thinking, you know, I might even start with, like, a small little gym opening up after this fight. And just so I have, like, a legit spot to go to every day. I don't have to worry about whether it's open or closed or the doors are locked around. I just get my own stuff and start building up my foundation more here. But at the end of the day, when I get ready for camp, I'm going to shoot down the Clearwater and I'm going to put work in at MJM Muay Thai with my coach, Matt McCuster. You know, because I definitely had the best experience that I've, of my fight journey with that guy. And I do believe in a team, you know what I mean, having a team behind you. So it's, you know, it was important for me to keep that relationship with my coach and my teammates back in Florida as well. So, but like I said, man, I'm all over the place. Like, you know, so like being here, this is like my main spot, man, Mansfield, Ohio. You know, this is where my family, I'm always going to come back here. I'm always going to come back here to see my kids. So like I said, I needed to build my foundation up a little bit, just like Matt was teaching me, man, about that pizza. You know what I mean? You got to start with the foundation, man, and work your way up. And that, sure, that, you know, sparked my mind, and I took it back here to Mansfield, and I started, you know, getting things done that needed to be done, man.
Hey, Julian, so listen, like in bodybuilding, you know, a lot of the top guys like Big Ramy and Hadi, those guys are coming from the Middle East. Like what they do is they go and they train over the Middle East because there's not the social distractions. You don't have the beaches, the movies, the nightlife, the club life. And they go over there and they handle business. And then they come back, they compete. And Big Ramy, two-time Mr. Olympia because of that process. So keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm proud of you, dude. I think this is the most mature focus that I've ever heard you talk and speak. And I can't wait. I'll be in the corner. I don't know if I'll be in your corner on Saturday, but I will be on the apron.
Flinging mats,
hey, doing what I do. I'm always going to be your biggest fan. I may not be able to show it publicly at the fight, but I just want you to know I always got your back, dog.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
Before we let you go, let's talk about a Saturday night main event, Dave Rickles. Thoughts on him? Do you watch tape on him? Does it not matter, you know, anything about him? It's what you bring to the table, or, you know, what's your thought process on that?
Well, you know, hey, coming from a fighter, I grew up fighting, watching guys like Dave Rickles fight. You know, I'm a fan of Dave Rickles. You know, I like I said, I was a fan. I watched his performance. I've watched all his fights, man. You know, so I definitely know what to look for, what to expect. I've seen his ups and his downs, and I just feel like he had he already had his time, man. He passed his prime time already. He had his time to shine. He had his opportunities to make it, make something out of what he didn't do that. You know, he went to Bellator. He did very well in Bellator, but he never got the belt, man. And bare knuckle, like I said, when I started doing bare knuckle, it was a new beginning for me. And it's something that just came natural to me, man. And I feel like it's definitely my home. And when I step in there, you know what I mean, like he's not going to even be able to hit me. I'm faster than him. I'm stronger than him. I hit way harder than him. You know, I'm more technical. That goes all around, man. I don't care if it was in the cage, bro. Anything he does, I'm better at. And I don't quit, man. And I watched this fight with Michael Page, and he quit, bro. I've never quit in my life, man. And I even had blood pouring out of my ears, man, or a broken jaw or a broken hand. I still fought rounds and rounds. You know what I mean? And this guy, he doesn't know what to expect, man. So when he gets in there, you know how it is. Guys get hit, and they'll go back to their old ways, man.
Yep.
Try to survive, which he's good at. He's good at surviving, but, hey, and bare knuckle, man, you got to be a killer, man. You can't just think you go in there and survive. You got to go in there and try to kill the guy, man.
Good stuff. Main event Saturday night in Wichita, Julian Lane taking on Dave Rickles. Julian, thank you very much for the time. We have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong, a box of Odd Socks, or you can just wait till you come back to Clearwater. That way you can pick out what you want, and a pair of earbuds from Jabra Electronics. Have fun on Saturday, all right?
Awesome, man. I'm definitely going to have fun. You guys have fun. Enjoy the show. Hey, it's going to be a banger, guys.
I'll see you Saturday, Jay.
There you have it. Julian Lane, your main event, everybody. All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Centre. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out very early each year, so make sure to purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsockofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsockofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsockofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsockofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
I don't know if you've heard everything that Colby Covington has said, and that they made this, if you don't take this fight, you're going to be stripped and all that crap. And Colby's doing what Colby does best.
Hyping up a fight.
Hyping it up, getting it done.
Sales, get an interest in the fight.
I believe Kamaru will be on next week.
Is he the greatest welterweight of all time?
You know, if not, he's on his way. I'm leaning towards yes. And I got in an argument with somebody the other day, shocking, on the Book of Face. Look at who GSP beat. Look at who Usman is beat.
Yeah.
Compare now. You know, I know that that's unfair.
Different era.
You know, Babe
style.
Ruth could only hit against what was in front of him. Would right. Babe Ruth be able to hit today? Probably not, because he's dead. But, right. You know.
Well, the cigar would get in the way.
Exactly. You know, when you look at it, and I purposely looked at, I looked at who GSP beat. I looked at who Usman has beat. Kamaru has beat better fighters.
Sure.
But again, it's
a different league.
It's a different era. You know, absolutely. But so
Kamaru doesn't take damage. I mean, he wins these fights massively, one-sided, lopsided fights. I mean, he's never really gotten in trouble.
Well, and he's taken his game 18 steps further. You know, when he beat Woodley, you know, he took him to the ground, did what he needed to do on the ground, which was all GSP ever did. Do you remember GSP beating up somebody? Now, just because you're not beating up somebody doesn't, you know, take anything away from it.
Yeah.
You could still be a beautiful fight, you know, without, you know, having somebody all bloodied and whatever. But, you know, Usman has changed his fight, and he's always had this. It's kind of like what we've said about John Jones. You know, we don't know what John Jones can do on the ground because he's never had to.
Sure.
Usman finally said, you know what? I'm going to show you what I can do. At least that's what I think he said.
Yeah,
we'll find out next Wednesday if that's what he really said.
For sure.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend take on the Chicago Bears. And Impressive win Saturday night. Some still defensive problems, which I think they're working on. Richard Sherman going out early. He'll probably be out for quite a few weeks now. Bye week coming up, which will be, you know, very helpful for him.
Sure.
But this, I don't know how you, what analogy, this ball is rolling. This
pick up steam.
That guy Tom Brady's pretty good.
Rolling downhill. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
And three receivers, it appears, and BA said it today in the press conference, you know, if they all stay healthy, the three will probably, I'm going to say definitely get 1,000 yards, all three of them.
Right.
Which is definitely impressive.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, big stuff. But I'm just curious, and I don't really want to say this publicly because Julian Marquez may show up at my door, but where's the Chiefs? What's going on with the Chiefs?
It's true. He might actually be listening, so careful.
Well, he might be because he saw the tag. I ran out to Odd Sock today.
Okay.
I got me a Rugrat bat.
Oh.
A Rugrat belt. Not a bat. You're playing with the bat.
I have a bat.
But, I got me a Rugrat belt. Yeah. I picked up a couple pair of socks.
Nice.
Some undies.
Nice.
The underwear's awesome. You really need to check it out, boys and girls. The underwear is so cool. And like I told Justin, and I know this sounds stupid, but it's true. You know, I'll never say anything that I don't believe or I'm experiencing. It's just you feel different wearing this stuff. You know, there's logos on it, or, you know, if it's like a cool, you know, Rugrat logo or Ghostbusters, it's just different, yeah. You know. So I strongly recommend shooting on over there. It's on Highlands in Clearwater. More socks than you know what to do with.
I can tell you what's fun. It's coming through airport TSA security, and they make you take your shoes off. And I have the Hulkamania Odd Socks on, and it just starts a firestorm of conversation.
Sure.
Everybody loves the Hulkamania, you know, and so it's fun when you have to get, you know, strip searched at the airport. It's nice.
Well, you just enjoy being strip searched.
I volunteer. It's amazing. Right. Like, they're like, sir, can you put your clothes back on? People are waiting to get through the security. But it's fun.
Justin's like, when I said, hey, can I grab a belt? Because, you know, I have all these big, thick belts still and the big belt buckles, and I just want something really thin. So we're looking through them. He goes, how about the Hulk Hogan, the Hulkamaniac one? I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah, that's mine. Can't. Save it for me. Leave my guy alone.
So I went with Rugrats.
Speaking of cowboy boots, our belts, what about Don Cerrone and his alleged mushroom use, like psychedelics before fights or fighting with?
Yeah.
Does it matter anymore? Why does USADA care what people take? Like, just say, look, you're a fighter. You're at the same weight. Everybody just go. Best man wins.
Because it's not set up that way. It's set up. You know, this is just me. Even though I got yelled at the other night that, doctor me. I'm like, no. From now on, call me doctor. You can call me Dr. Moron or Dr. Donkey or whatever, but call me doctor. If you don't feel it, it's not fair. If you're so high that you're just floating through the fight and you don't feel being punched in the face or feel when you just tore your ACL,
right.
It's not fair, right? You know, and that's what, you know, people who really don't know it all, you know, and I don't, you know, the whole marijuana stuff. Well, you know, all it does is make you want to go eat Twinkies. I almost got a pair of Twinkie socks for my granddaughter. I might have. I don't remember what I got her. That's not the point. But if you're just feeling like everything is cool,
right?
You know, it's not fair. So either it is or it isn't. If you want to be, you know, have a leg, come as you are.
Yeah, I think you should. Let's start it. Let's do it.
Let's start it.
We'll promote it. We're like, look, any rule, and there are
two finger fighting.
There's no rules.
You can only hit with two fingers.
There's no rules.
There has to be rules.
No, the we could have a no-club rule.
All right. Well, start that. You'd probably have to go to the Indian reservations.
They probably have rules.
Well, they have rules. Their rules are you'll do what we tell you to. Believe me, I know. I was there.
Oh.
I was there for the situation with a Babalu, Sobral, that happened at the Hard Rock. Wow. I'm pretty excited, though. I got to be honest with you. Headed up to see Sister Hazel.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. We got to find some pizza in Orlando.
That's open late. So we'll have to find time. You know, find what time they'll start. See, the problem's going to be, well, just like Russell Peters, I'm going to the show. You go get the pizza.
All right.
And then let me know, because now I know that you will get there. So let me know where you are. We'll meet up.
I'll get in.
Take an Uber.
I'll be there. Trust me, I'll be there.
I'm sure you will.
I'll be wedged between the speaker and the sound.
That's so crazy. That's
best place to see a show.
That is crazy. But you know, that's why I asked that question, because you know, it's so fun to hear these kind of crazy things that, you know, happens just in everyday life. But it's funnier if somebody's on stage doing it, or, you know, hey, where'd he go? He fell off the stage and he's now on the ground but still singing. I almost brought up the Tenors of Rock when the family and I went out and saw them, and they sang through an earthquake.
Oh,
and they didn't miss a beat. I've told you that story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we're sitting in there, and the whole thing is like moving. The lights above us are moving, and I see Jimmy looking at Di and kind of like, what the? But they didn't miss a beat.
It's like the Titanic. I mean, you play until the boat goes to the water. Like, you play till the end.
Really? You think they?
Yeah,
you think that's your job.
You go out with class. You go out with, like,
come out on your sword.
Go on your shield. Yeah, you're on your shield.
Okay.
But I'm
going to go out on the life vest.
Women and children first, and all meter people.
Meter people, yeah.
Meter people to the front.
We need all the meter people.
I saw a Facebook meme yesterday. They're building a trench in a farm road, and a sheep got stuck and wedged, kind of like what I imagine this band member from Sister Hazel looked like, stuck in this little trench. And so they dug them out, and the sheep got it free, ran 200 feet, I don't know, 20 feet, and then took a right, fell into the hole again. And it said, you know, me, like, helping people who don't want to help themselves. Oh, man. But I pictured that same image at that concert.
It's good to have concerts back.
Yeah, it's good to have everything.
I almost made a couple comments, but I really liked the guy. Like, he said he listened to heavy music, like Kiss and Queen.
Yeah, it's not really heavy.
That's really not heavy.
Nah.
Steve Linnae called. He goes, hey, you want to go to this concert? It was last night.
Oh, yeah. Slipknot and his boy's here, the Slipknot guy.
I said, I think I would kill you and me, not necessarily in that order, if I went to a Slipknot concert.
Why wouldn't you go to Slipknot?
What?
What's wrong with
that? Aren't they like Ozzy Osbourne on steroids?
Ozzy Osbourne started COVID. He ate a raw bat on stage.
That was years ago, though.
He started it.
But that was years ago.
It takes time to get around the globe.
I did want to ask him, though, and again, you know, I didn't, you know, my humor is not like yours. Yours is bad. Mine sometimes is good and sometimes it's not. Leonard Skinner was named after a real person, too. The only difference is they hated the guy. And they thought this was a way, you know, to get back at him. And Leonard Skinner, I believe, was the PE coach. And they didn't like him in Jacksonville. Uh-huh. In this case, Sister Hazel was well loved.
Yeah. Now, I mean, what happens if you know, if they would have come back and Sister Hazel's like, look, can't use my name. Got to change the name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cease and desist? Can't use my name? Can I use your name?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean?
No. Because it's trademarked.
Wow.
Everything about me is trademarked.
Is it really?
Yes. Including my odd sock undies.
Yes. I want to call myself the shepherd.
Yeah, I believe you said you're going to do that.
Yes, I'm going to be the shepherd from now on.
Not that there haven't been other shepherds.
Yeah, but I'm the shepherd.
No, I believe he's the shepherd. The same guy with the sandals. Wasn't he a shepherd? He was a carpenter, but he was also a shepherd, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. You have sheep and...
Can you get me some pretzels from Center City Pretzel?
I don't know. I don't really go to Philly much.
Oh, it was the best.
It's not really my city.
Honestly, it was the cool. I love Philly.
I liked Philly. I had a good time there. I did.
I couldn't spend, you know, more than the time we had there because, you know, you run out, even though there's plenty of stuff, Valley Forge and then the outskirts and Liberty Atlantic Bell. City. Well, we did that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I go, can I take my mask off? They said no, and then I took it off and we took a photo. So enough already. Really?
It's over. Let's just go back to normal.
Really? I need to wear a mask in front of a bell. Is the bell going to catch COVID? And if you're worried, Mr. Forest Ranger, stand 6 feet away. I promise not to cough on the bell. And
you
it's not even the original bell.
You know, the bell didn't even have crack until it went to Kensington?
That's where it's. That's where the bell got its crack. Oh, it was bad. We drove down there, and it was just bad. We didn't see anybody shooting up this time, but we saw just people everywhere.
Zombies.
Clothes, zombies.
Zombies, yeah. I mean, we wanted to go when we were there, but they're like, you can't. You got your kids. It's just not safe. Can't even stop the car at the stoplight. I mean, it's just...
I don't know, but...
That's what they said.
The pet shop is gone. I put that photo.
It collapsed, right?
I don't know. I just know it's gone.
I think it collapsed. I think that building collapsed.
And then Steve, with his humor, took a photo of a homeless person who was sleeping in front of the gym.
That guy is now a participant or a resident of Tyson Fury's new
Could be.
I want to work for Tyson Fury and help him find homeless residents.
All right, I'm homeless.
Come on.
So you're hired. Now find me a castle.
I'll be like the shepherd. I'm like, bring them all in.
You are a shepherd. All right, so Sister Hazel on Friday.
Yes.
We will put that together. BKFC. Saturday, BKFC. Also, Tuxes and Tails, the big charity event over in Tampa.
Nice. That's a great event.
It is, and I believe I'll be going to that. Sunday, Bucks and Bears.
Yes.
So should be a good weekend.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Great weekend.
I want to thank everybody who tuned in. I want to thank all the sponsors. Big ups to Odd Sock, who hooked me up with that Rugrat belt. I can't wait to wear that. So good stuff. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
That needs a man one.
Change it. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. See everybody next week.
I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell you, everyone out there, listen, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.